Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. Good evening. And this is your host tonight at Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Kingdom Network. This is the 1981st episode of Purpose Kingdom right here on Blog Talk. And this is Reverend Aaron Williams. We just thank you. Thank God for you and thank God for your attendance and support tonight. This topic really came up in me a couple of weeks ago as I spoke to a friend of mine, and some questions came up in my mind about being spiritual. So the topic that we're going to go into tonight, taken out of 1 John, 4th chapter, and we'll go through a few other scriptures, but what it was just that, let's get spiritual. So first, let's pray. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Thank you for your goodness, your loving kindness, and your tender mercy. God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would not only bless us, but make us a blessing as we deliver your word, as we just speak to your people, God, at the church, God, that you would educate us, that you would continue to equip us in the name of Jesus for your own glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Like I said, I really just want to talk to you briefly about that topic. Let's get spiritual. As I really thought about it and pondered the thought of being a spiritual Christian, what really was on my mind was our ability to so easily gravitate to good sayings and popular sayings, and not to say any names or anything like that, but it was a popular saying, and it still goes around, you know, even today it goes around, and the saying was, you know, a word that we always say as praise, hallelujah, and hallelujah means praise Jah, praise Jehovah, praise Yahweh. It's a compound word, you know, and I felt it necessary to really go into that because as we move into perdition, as we move into apostasy, as we move into the last days, as we move into a time where everyone, and it seems evident that Christ's return is imminent, we have to be careful because we want to make sure we're hearing from God, and I'm gonna get to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this hallelujah, hallelujah being a compound word is the first part taken from the Hebrew of the word hallel, which means to praise, and then we know the second part Jah was the name of God, you know, abbreviation of Jehovah or Yahweh. So the word compounded is praise ye. Or you praise the Lord. And I always say it's a declaration because it declares not that I'm praising the Lord, but it's a declaration and an encouragement so well for you to praise the Lord. So as we say it, it perpetuates praise, you know, amidst the people of God. So when that word, when the job was taken off and Yer was put there, it changed. It was comical. It had some humor to it, but it changed the name. It not just changed the name, it changed the very meaning because the Hallel was still there. So we're saying, praise ye, what? And God has so fashioned me that I get kind of skeptical when things go too smooth. And I'm not always looking for defeat. I'm not always looking for trouble, but it kind of goes with the territory in my mind. You know, the Bible tells me to arm myself, so I'm looking for a fight. You know, I'm looking for a battle. I'm looking for a heart. I'm looking for something that's going to drive me to my knees, that's going to drive me and continue to form avenues and ways and broadways, I would say broad, to the Lord. So when I looked up, because I said, this has to mean something. This has to be something. It has to be something to it, because I hear everyone saying this. What's up? Well, I know it's popular. I know we got human and we play around with it. But when I looked at the word hallelujah, and I know that Jah meant Jehovah, I know that it meant the Lord, I know it meant Yahweh, I had to know what Yer meant. So I looked up Yer, and Yer means anything pertaining, I wrote it down, to you. Anything pertaining or belonging to you, or the word that they use was ye, as we see in the King James, or belonging to you. So we changed the meaning of praise the Lord to praise yourself. And I said, oh, my God, I had to apologize to God. I had to repent. I had to say, God, I'm never going to do this again. Amen, bless you. I had to say, I'm not saying this again, because I see that the meaning now takes away. And people have called me, you're just too deep. You take everything literally. So that's how God make me. I'm not fighting. I'm not fashioning all that deep. Call them unto the deep. If I'm going to be deep, I'm going to be deep. But I'm not going to allow myself to be pulled into the mold of culture because of popularity. I'm not going to allow myself to be pulled into the culture of what people are saying or what people are not just accessing, but allowing to be in the name of entertainment, in the name of fun, in the name of humor, when we're replacing, we replace the name of God. This is what really had the question in my mind. We were replacing God's name and putting another name in there, because as I said at the beginning, hallelujah is not just a singular word. It's a compound word. It's a word made of two words. Hallel, which means to praise, and Jah, which is God, which is the Lord, you know. And when we change that to something else, it's the praise the was still in there, to praise was still in there, but then we took God out and put ourselves in. That's why it wasn't no shock to me when I looked and seen on YouTube where one of the rappers had said at the awards, he said, you know what? You know, I want to thank myself. It was no surprise to me when they said that, because we have allowed it out of our mouths. We have already allowed the praise of ourselves to become popular even in the church. So this is why I said let's get spiritual, because, thanks to God, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to us about our ever-present quest for greater, for the new song, for the new popular saying, for the new word, for the fresh word. In essence, and I'm going to use this analogy that I always use, God likes what he likes. God likes what he likes. It's no matter for us to come along and think what he likes will change because I have a new revelation. Ooh. All right. So as I get into the scripture, I want to first go into the Laodicean church, you know, in Revelations 3. And it said, you know, you're saying you have good. Let me turn to Revelations 3. Revelations 3 simply says this. Unto the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that thou art neither hot or cold. Cold or hot, it says. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee, God says, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, this is the part I wanted to get to. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Listen, God was addressing the church. And in his addressing the church, this is what blows my mind. I came across this earlier this week. What blows my mind, God came and was speaking to the church. But it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Popularity was there. Success was there. The gifts was there. You know, the shot was there. The noise, the pandemonium, everything you see in a healthy church from the outside was there. But God said, I'm at the door knocking. So what does that mean? That means that though church was going on, church service was happening, it says, I'm saying that I have need of nothing. I'm rich. My goods is increasing. I have need of nothing. God wasn't even in there. He was at the door knocking while they were still going on with business as usual, while they were still having service, while they were still having church. God was outside saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the tragedy of this scripture for me is that he went from the church to individuals because the masses refused to hear. He said, if any man, if any individual, if any person, if any woman would hear my voice, my God, and open the door, I will come in. You can be individually the catalyst for the move of God right where you are. It doesn't have to come from the pastor. If you see something lacking, if you see something not where you think it should be, that is an avenue, that is an opportunity for you to be the move of God. I seen, and I didn't even recognize that I did on my advertisement that I sent out earlier today, that it talks about revival fire, because my desire is that God move not just in me, but through me. Because I desire that people would really come to a relationship to knowing the God of the Bible. And when we talk about getting spiritual, this is the scary part, because everyone is spiritual these days. The Bible says in 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit. God's telling us. Wait, us Christians, us people of the Bible, us people of the way, us people of the book, us people that are called Christians first at Antioch, we need to not believe every spirit. Listen to the wording of the King James Version. Believe not every spirit. What you mean is more than one spirit trying to talk to me? Is more than one spirit trying to pull on my ear? Is more than one spirit trying to get into my thinking and try to change my mind and try to move my thoughts? Believe not every spirit. There's spirits talking all the time. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, don't marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So it ain't no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what are you saying, Brother Aaron? Believe not every spirit. You know, let me continue in 1 John. But try. This is the key right here, Mom. This is the key. Hey, Maria, this is the key right here. Try the spirits. Try. That doesn't mean to start talking to them and say, who are you? That means that you have to put what they're saying, what you're hearing, what you're feeling even on trial. We have to put them on trial. And what trial is they, are we holding them accountable to? We are holding those spirits accountable to the word of God. 1 John 4:1 says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And it gives a semicolon there, and I want to stop there because a semicolon, you know, introduces, a list or a quote after a complete sentence, or it joins two independent clauses or a sentence, the second part restates or explains the first part. I'm going to get into grammar, but because I always read that like this, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And we automatically read through it that way because we think it's saying that when we hear the doctrine, we understand that, hey, this person is not speaking right, or this prophet stuff is not coming to pass. But it's a complete stop there with the colon. The colon tells you to stop. Stop right the way you're reading. But try the spirits whether they are of God. So before we get into this is why they're false prophets. They're not false prophets because they started like that. They were false prophets because the enemy spoke to them. The devil spoke something into their mind that, you know, you felt it in your heart, that it was true, and they didn't see if it lined up. So they ran with it. They ran with what they took because they believed it was God. But even in I believe it was in Acts, where the Bereans, you know, it says that because of what was said, they threw some of the disciples were thinking of getting thrown in jail, but the Bereans, they wanted to listen to the matter and see how it lined up. And it says every day they were in Scripture searching to see if what was said was right. And we have to come back to a level of scholasticism, of scholastics in the body, where we begin to at least not try to follow our heart. We know Scripture already tells that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful, desperately above all things, even my heart. That's the Reverend Aaron Williams. My heart tries to deceive me through what I feel. You know, I get the goosebumps. Oh, that's God. No. After the goosebumps go down, you know, after you get the shine eyes out the way, you still have to go into the Word and see if it lines up. Hey, line up, bless. If it lines up with the word of God. I told you, I was talking to a young man, friend of mine, beautiful brother in the Lord, you know, and he began to tell me about being spiritual, and being spiritual, some of the things that he was saying, I told him, I said, it don't line up. That don't line up with what the Bible says. He said, that's the problem. You can't go by what the word says all the time, you know, because the Lord still speaks to us. You know, that's the difference between being spiritual. I said, but if you don't have a foundation of the word, if the word's not your foundation, then how do you know it's God? It's herein that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, because the word of God will be found in the will of God. The word of God will be found in what you're being motivated to move toward. If you can't, if I can't find an answer in the word, I have to go back. I have to go back to the word. I have to go back and find, where did I miss God? Where did I not? This is why the Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians, study. Study to show yourself. Not that you can prove to men you know the Bible. Not that you can prove to everyone that you know what the scripture says. But the Bible says study to show yourself. Because no one knows what's in your heart. God knows what battles you fight in faith, in your heart, in private, in secret. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Listen, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly, I tell you, that word is there for a reason. That word is not just there because God just wanted to fill a sentence. Rightly, Amen, amen. You always got it rightly, because if there's a right way, there's also a wrong way that we have to rightly dividing the word of truth. Unless you have the gift, you know, in 1 Corinthians it talks about the gift of discerning of spirits, where you have the gift to discern, this is God. If you don't have that gift, and even if you have the gift, you still, it has to line up. Why? Because many false prophets are gone. They ran with what they thought they heard from God. And we can see so many damnable doctrines because someone got a word. Someone got a word. There's a difference between getting a word and getting the word. I got to tell you that. It's a difference between getting and having a word and having the word. Well, hey, Pastor Johnson, when we're looking at what God is telling us, maybe that's why we're so against seeming like every time I turn on the TV, every time I look on a YouTube video, every time I see on Facebook, there's someone talking about someone else that's not doing it right. Someone that's talking about somebody else that's not up to par, that's not up to standard. I don't have anything to do with anyone else. All I know is what the Lord is telling me and what the Lord is directing me. And as the Lord is directing me and I see the growth and the hand of God on it, I don't try to point the finger of destruction at others, but I have to let them understand that God, the Bible already tells that broad is the way. If you get that broad, listen, broad is the way. And I didn't want to get here that fast, but broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And it goes further to say that these are those that came and said to the Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do, listen, they preached, they teached, they laid hands and cast out devils, they raised the dead, they healed the sick, they did the gifts, they did the gifts, the saints of God, do not mistake the move of God. Do not mistake the manifestation of the, listen, they're called gifts because they're free. They're called gifts because they're given to us even before the foundation of the world. We've been found in him. All souls belong to God. Why you have so many witches? Why you have so many psychics? When it talked about the woman who had the spirit of divination, it said that they continuously followed the apostles, saying that these are men of God. These are men of God that came to show the way. And it got so much that it vexed the disciples' spirit. And he rebuked them and cast out the devil. He didn't say they told a lie. It didn't say that the spirit was lying, that the spirit was saying something that wasn't right. It's just that it was saying it by the wrong spirit. Yeah, by the wrong spirit. Psalms tell us that the word is a lamp. The word is a light. Psalms 133 says, order my steps in your word. All of these things are because it just don't line. Pear was being taught to a clear, not obscure. You know, we want to go on some abstract tangent because everybody wants to be deep when the word is simple. God said what he meant what he said, and made it plain. Even in that simplicity, we find difficulty to execute the word of God in our lives. Even in its simplicity, we find it difficult to obey the word of God in our lives. Why? Because we're like, name it. Aren't these rivers better? Aren't these rivers cleaner than the Jordan? Are these rivers greater than the Jordan? Why is he sending me into this ruddy, muddy, murky water when there are more purified rivers? And all he had to do was obey. I want to challenge you to line up your spirituality with the word of God. there are people that right now are praying and have been praying all day. They're considered by the world spiritual. They're considered by the world. They're considered by population as great spiritual leaders. But their life don't line up with the Bible. They believe that Jesus was a great man, that Jesus may even have been a prophet, but they don't believe the Bible as they follow their own religion. But they're considered spiritual. But it says that the devil disguises or disguises himself as an angel of light and his demons as ministers of light. So what does that mean? That means that they come in sounding good. That means that they come in with truth partially. That means that they come in with words that are deceptive, encrypted even, and for a better word, for today's vernacular, encrypted words. They are encrypted with lies. They are encrypted with partial truth. Why? To deceive you, just to get your ear that you begin to listen to doctrines of devils. And the thing about a seed, a thing of that, something that you receive, this is why it's so hard, it's why it's so necessary to search first before you get it, before you meditate and receive it and say yes, and to find out when you hear it, something new, before you receive it, to search it in the scriptures to see if it lines up. Because once you receive that seed, you have to now go through a purging by the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, because he now has to purge that lie out of the way that you see now, because the way you see and the way you hear is going to determine a lot by how you receive the Word. I had been ministering and evangelizing up in Hunting Park and down in the Badlands. And I was talking to a brother that used to come to the church, all the time. He was a good brother, but he was of another faith. He was considered, and I still consider him a Christian, but he was of another faith. As we had believed, we were non-denominational. So he was of a different denomination. And he began to talk to me his doctrine. And as he began to tell me his doctrine, I began to understand what he was saying. And I heard it, when I heard it, I had one of those aha moments, but not aha moment for the good. My aha moment was for the bad. And when I got home, I cried because I believed that I had been deceived all these years, and not just me, but my grandmother, my grandfather, those in the family that I've seen all my life that have been in church have been misled by this false doctrine that I was in. And I began to just get in the word. And I God, you got to give me an answer. You got to give me an answer, because I was ready to go with my bullhorn, and not go to Hunting Park no more. I wasn't going down to the Badlands. I was going to be in front of the church preaching that this is a false doctrine. And the Lord gave me one scripture. And when I received that scripture, because everything I had read from the time I talked to this young man until the Lord put that scripture on me, everything confirmed what he said. Everything began to line up with what he said. Things that I thought I'd never seen before that I had read began to make sense in a different light. And I was shook. I was shook, Pastor. I was shook, Rhymus. I was shook. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And the Lord gave me one scripture. And when I received it, I felt the burden lift up off me. I was like, whoa, because I had been caught up in a lie. And I said, from this point on, I'm not receiving anything until I see it lines up. Going back into that conversation, as I talked to the young man, he was talking about how their generation is more spiritual than we are. And our generation were more word-orientated. you know, and we did something, lived something that they might struggle with. And I thought to myself, it's because of the word. It's not because of us. It's because we receive the word. And I'm done. I'm done right there. I wanted to get into some other things, but I really wanted to just speak to the spiritual Christians. If you're spiritual and you're still struggling, there is victory for you. There is strength for you. There is joy for you. There is salvation for you right now. You don't have to wait until your grandparents come and pray for you. You can get that same victory that you desire. We're talking about how we're feeling it, how we're displaying our emotions. God is there. Yes, he will definitely meet you on your knees. But everything you do, how do we know God? How do we know if it's God apart from his word? We're saying, I can hear it now by his spirit. I can hear you saying it because we know his spirit. But how do you know it's him? We know it's him because we're rightly dividing the word of God. I want to pray for you. I want to pray before the altar call. And I just pray, God, for those that of us that are spiritual. Because I understand and I believe I'm beginning to recognize the trick of the enemy is to place us in a position of doubt and wavering faith. And I pray for everyone that has a strong desire for your word, a strong desire for your will, but may have gone astray doctrinally because of spirituality. God, you said that we ought not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. I pray that you would place us on an agenda to study, that we may desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow by your word, because it's your word that's a light. It's your word that's a lamp. It's your word that brings entrances to your spirit. It's your word, God, that opens the door. It's your word that's a hammer. It's your word that's a fire. It's your word, God. So I pray for our desire for your word and that you would, Holy Spirit, teach us to reverence your word and esteem your word even more than our daily food. As we're in this season of Lent, coming to the day of your resurrection and the week of your passion, God, I pray for every hearer that will hear this message, that they will be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. You're spiritual, but you've never accepted Christ as Savior. If that's you and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to lead you into the sinner's prayer today. I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me, and I want you to mean it. If you mean what you say and say what you mean, God will do exactly what you ask of him. And then we're going to have our elder, Brother Rob, come, and he's going to give you some information on how to correspond with Purpose Kingdom, you know, and as we can disciple you in your growth and in your walk in the Lord. Then I'm going to come back with some final words and the benediction. Say these words: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me for my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and be Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, I do thank you for everyone that will hear and repeat and mean this prayer, God, that you would touch, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would deliver, God, that you would give them the assurance of their salvation. We thank you for their obedience to the call, for they can't even come, your word tells us, except you first draw them. So I thank you that you've drawn them and are drawing them even the more to yourself. I pray, God, that you would bless them in this walk in the name of Jesus. Stand up in them. Give them strength in their spirit. Encourage their heart. Direct them to a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, church fellowship where they can hear the sincere love of the word and grow by it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Rob, turn everything over to you. And then we'll be back with the benediction and last words.
All right, all right. Thank you so much for tonight's episode. Truly inspiring. Real quickly, this is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, no matter where in the world you are. Whether you listen to us online or via phone, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Anytime we do a live show, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com. /Purpose Kingdom. We do have a call-in number, which is 319-527-6091. And anytime you want to talk to one of our hosts, you just press the number 1. Also, you can listen to our past shows on the same website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You just simply type in the show name or the host name, you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. If you want to correspond with us via email, you can correspond with us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello and send a praise request. Or if you're in need of a Bible, you can leave your contact information. We'll see about getting you a Bible. Also, please check out pkn.com. We can hear 24 hours of music of inspiration and enjoyment. Okay, with that being said, we're going to go to tomorrow night at the 9 p.m. hour. And it's going to be... It's Your Story, So Tell It. And it's going to be hosted by Mother Janice Hudson. So once again, please join us at the 9 p.m. hour for It's Your Story, So Tell It. It's going to be hosted by Mother Janice Hudson. All right. And also, please check out us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And from time to time, we do make major announcements on our social media pages as well as others. We're also on Instagram and Twitter under the handle Purpose_Kingdom. All right, and with that being said, this is going to be the end of the announcements. I want to hand the show back over to Reverend Williams. Reverend Williams, excellent show. And the show's back in the room.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. I just want to tell you, do you know that worship has to be lined up? That you just can't go willy-nilly? And I heard a brother talk about singing. You know, worship has become a sing show and a concert. With worship, the lineup. Worship has to line up. I wrote this down. I'm going to read this. And worship has to be tempered by the word of God. Music has often made sorcery and or witchcraft or spell casting palatable and attractive. And it passes our discernment because music is one of the only entities that don't need or don't have to have permission. If you're listening, it's going in. I can steal from the time I was a kid in the single digits. I can still remember the song, the rhythm, the melody to the cartoons that I grew up on. And I know a lot of you can, but because it was put in there, my music. And even, you know, not to quote what people are saying, but Michael Jackson said he even said it in an interview that it's a form of spell casting. And I don't want to get into all of that, but not just doctor worship, where we can see people have moved from worship to entertainment. And that's a whole different topic for a whole different time. But we know that we're not as those in Hebrews that said that, you know, draw back to perdition. But we want to move forward in God. My desire is that you would move forward in the things of God. And we for some reason, we have been deceived to believe that that type of life is boring. That type of life is the word corny, when it's one of the most exciting times of life, when you realize that the very God who put it all together desires you and I. God desires us. He desires us. He desires to dwell. Back to Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was outside of the church knocking to come in, that someone would open the door. Won't that be you today? Won't that be you that opens the door to God? Won't that be you that opens the door to the Holy Spirit? Won't that be you that opens this up? Is a big mosquito flying around here. Won't that be you today that opens the door to God? That opens the door to God. God, we do thank you. And I thank you for the word that has gone out. I thank you because your word says that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you send it out to do, and it'll prosper in that thing that you sent it. So to every hearer, God, as we are spirit, soul, and body, we pray that you would feed our spirits, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would feed our spirit with your word in the name of Jesus. For again, it is your word that's a light. It's your word that's a lamp. It's your word that guides. It's your word that guards. It's your word that protects, God. And we pray that you would order our steps in your word. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You have a good night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me.
I will not lose.
He saved me. I will not lose.
Set me free.
I will not lose.
Never want to see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.